want to give you time to look for this passage of Scripture. It's in Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 8. Amos, chapter 8. This is not our text. The text is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter 14. So you can turn to both places if you'd like. The title of this message is The Place God Chooseth. The Place God Chooseth. Before we read this scripture, let me ask a question. What is the gospel worth to you? Do you need to hear the gospel? Do you need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else? Is it indeed, as the scriptures say, your bread, children's bread? You know, a hungry child will go to great lengths for a mere morsel of bread to eat, or a small bowl of soup. Over in Ethiopia, they wait long lines to get just a mere pittance of food. And a thirsty man would travel a long way for a drink of water. And I ask you, what is the gospel worth to you? Look here at Amos chapter 8, beginning with verse 11. The prophet says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, but not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Are we not living in that day? Aren't we? In this day of so very many preachers, this day of so many people that call themselves preachers, and I use that name lightly in reference to most of them. In this day of so very many preachers, there are so very few who are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of them are taken up with themselves and their programs, making a name for themselves. They're taken up with every sort of issue, all of the world issues and so forth, such as politics and etc. Not many, even so-called preachers, care to be taken up with the Word of God. I'm constantly put out with all of the so-called churches, their bulletin boards that they have in front of their buildings. It seems that they would rather put up some sort of clever saying rather than the Word of God itself. There are literally thousands of verses of Scripture in here from the mind of God Almighty, yet they'd rather put up some silly little phrase than one verse of Scripture, which is the power of God. See, they're not taken up with the Word. And the few preachers that are truly preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's just one, Paul said they'd come preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel, but it's a perversion of the gospel. Christ said there would come many false prophets in this day. And the few who are truly preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are having a hard time finding somebody who will hear it. Aren't they right? Having a hard time finding somebody that wants to hear it. So I say, are we not living in that day that was prophesied here? Are we not living in the days of famine of hearing the word? A word of conviction. Even some so-called believers fall asleep in the midst of the hearing of the word. The word of life is being proclaimed and someone falls asleep. I don't know how that can be. It just beats me. So I ask you again, what is the gospel worth to you? What is it worth to you? If you knew you only had so long to live, and there was one man preaching the gospel, one man, one Elijah on the face of the earth preaching the gospel, you only had so many days or months or however to live, and one man was preaching the gospel, and you knew the gospel was your only hope. It's the word of life. It's the good news of eternal life. And this man was in a faraway place. How far would you travel to hear him? How long would you wait to make up your mind? Would you tarry? Oh no. Oh no. You'd have to get to him fast. Brother Rick and I were discussing this. You know, if I lived in the ghetto of New York City, and my family was starving to death. My children were gaunt looking, and I had no work and so forth, and we were scraping and scrimping for all that we could get, and we still weren't getting enough. I just believe now, if I loved my family, that I'd have to get out of that place. I'd have to hop the next freight out of town and just do whatever it took to get something to eat for me and my family. Whatever it took. If it took holding down three or four jobs, washing dishes, sweeping streets, whatever it took, I believe I'd do it for the love of my family. And the scripture says this, now is the day of salvation. It says this, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And there's coming a day. There's coming a day when a person would trade 10,000 houses, cars, pieces of property, jobs, even their family, for one more opportunity to hear the gospel and believe it. One more. One more. Let me hear it one more time, and I'll believe it this time. And there's coming a day when if a man had to sell everything he owned and travel around the world to hear the gospel, it would be no inconvenience to him. So I ask you again, how much do you need to hear the gospel? Those that need it will hear it, won't they? Yes, they will. No doubt about it. Well, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'll just reread a few verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Look at verse 10. He says, when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the preacher that's within your gates, for as much as he hadn't worked like you have, no part, no inheritance with you. So take heed to yourself now that you offer not your burnt offerings, that is, don't worship in every place
that you see.
But there's one place. He says clearly here, there's one place. There'll be a place, singular. A place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Where is that? Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This has a twofold application, this message does. This place that this speaking of, first of all, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one. He's the only place where God will meet with mere mortal man. He's the only place of worship. And we're to take heed that we worship nowhere else, but only in Christ. We're to take heed that we approach unto God only in and through Christ, through his blood and his righteousness. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. There's a place where the Lord shall choose. He's chosen from out among the people, Nancy. Chosen from among his brethren. God's choice servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's put his name on it. Emmanuel, God with us. Thou shalt call his name Wonderful. Call his name the Mighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Holy of Holies. He's the only place where God will speak to a man. He's the Holy of Holies, where the blood was poured out on the mercy seat. He is the mercy seat. He is the tabernacle. He is the place where God meets with men. He is the place, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. This is also speaking of the place where the gospel is preached. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Look at this, beginning with verse 23. And he says, "Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." God's name, God's glory, is not found everywhere. The name of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not being preached everywhere. Oh no, very few places. The gospel is not to be found everywhere. Christ, the bread of life, is not being served up everywhere. Far be it, there's few places. Few places. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ now is only being preached in the place God chooses. The place which God has chosen from the foundation of the world. The place. It's being preached in the place where God has chosen, that is, among the people God has chosen, and there are few, and by a man sent from God. By a man sent from God. The place, and note, like I said before, Christ is that place. He is the one. He's the one that where God has put his name, and he's the one we feast upon. Now, listen to this. He said here, look at it in verse 23. He says, "Bring the tithe." You go into this place where God has chosen to put his name there, and the tithe of thy corn. You're going to go into this place to worship, and you're going to go in there and you're going to feast upon corn. What is that? That's none other than the bread and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where God's name is, where his gospel is proclaimed, you're going to hear Christ presented as the bread of life. The corn. Look at this. He says, "The wine, and thy wine." That's the blood. You got the body of Christ, you got the blood of Christ. And look at this. "The oil, and thy oil." That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that message with power. Not just word only, but with power from God himself, from the Holy Spirit. And he says this. Look at this. "The firstling of thy herds and thy flocks." There's a scripture that says, don't give to God what costs you nothing. Don't give unto God what costs you nothing. And the scripture also says, set your affection, that is your whole being, the first fruit, the best part of the day, the best part, your whole being. Set your affection on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Your whole heart. "My son, give me thine heart. Seek him with your whole heart." First fruits. Firstling of your flock. The best you got. All you've got. All of your person. Forsake all and follow him. The scripture said. Look at the reason for it. That you may learn, verse 23, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. The scripture says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. And Christ is all. He's all. And true wisdom tells a man, tells a woman that he's the only one worth pursuing, isn't he? He's the only one worth setting my affection upon. He's the only one worth giving my time, my energy, my efforts to. He's the only one. And the scripture says to worship Him with fear and trembling. And if you ever truly worship God aright, worship the Lord Jesus Christ aright, you'll worship Him with fear. Like that prayer we read in the study tonight, Rick, Daniel's prayer. You worship God in fear and trembling at His feet. You worship the Lord Jesus Christ in that way, and that way only. Look at verse 24. Listen to it. We're getting into the heart of it here. And He says that if the way be too long for thee, if the way is too long for thee, where that place is, so that thou art not able to carry it, that is to take your first, take your herd, your flock, the firstling of thy flock, you're not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to set His name there, when the Lord thy God has blessed thee, if it's too far, if it's too long. And I say this to an unbeliever, if you're far from Christ, if you're away from Christ, if you dwell in a land called Lodabar, where there's no bread being served, in a barren land, if it's too far, if I say this to people who are far removed from the gospel, no place to go hear the gospel, if it's too far, and when the Lord thy God has blessed thee, if you consider Christ and His Word and His people the greatest blessing on earth, if you found the pearl of great price, look at verse 25, then shalt thou turn it into money. Turn it into money. Do what it takes. Do what it takes. Get rid of whatever gets in the way of you worshiping Christ. Sell all that you've got. Forsake father, mother, houses, land, your own life also. Forsake it. Sell it. Christ said there to His disciples, and finally, when they were to go out in this world, He said, now you provide some script for your journey. Sell it. Turn it into money. Look at verse 25. Turn it into money. Bind the money into your hand and go. You've got to get down and get something to eat. Turn it into money. Sell it. Go down unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. They're few and far between. Turn it into money. Sell all. Follow Christ. Go where the gospel is. Scripture says, buy the truth. Sell it not. Look at verse 26. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. There's the key. What are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to spend your time on, your energy and efforts? What is your soul lustful? What is it? He says, do what's necessary to hear the gospel if it's truly what you need. We were talking about this, weren't we? A man that loves Christ, who desires to hear the gospel, who longs to hear the gospel, who wants more than anything to win Christ and be found in Him, he'll do what it takes. He's got to have the Word. He's got to feed on the bread, right? Got to. Give me Christ or else I die, John Chapman said. I've got to hear Him preach. I'm telling you, if this place folds up tomorrow, I'm going to go where the gospel is. I don't know about you folks. I have a good feeling about most of it. But like I said, anyone that may hear this tape, how much is the gospel worth to you? If it's truly, as this scripture said, what your soul lusteth after. Look at it in verse 26. Whatsoever your soul lusteth after, look at it, for oxen. Look, verse 26, everybody. Oxen. What's that? That's strong meat. I need some strong meat. I need some doctrine. Not like that fella told me one time when I was getting ready to preach in a place. at the workplace where I work. He said, now, he was getting all worried about what I was going to say. He said, now, don't preach any doctrine. Just preach Jesus. We got a lot of people from different denominations here, you know. Don't rock the boat. Just don't preach doctrine. Just preach Jesus. What did John say? If any man abide not in the doctrine of Christ, he's none of his. The teachings of Christ are his doctrine. That is his doctrine. I need strong meat. If I want to grow up to be a mature believer, I need strong meat. I need doctrine. Besides, it's more than mere doctrine. What we call the doctrines of grace, God's sovereignty, unconditional election and so forth, limited atonement, irresistible grace, the perseverance of the saints, and so it's more than mere doctrine. This is a revelation of the character of God. This is how God saves sinners. It's the only way. This is the gospel. This is not mere doctrine. It's the gospel in short terms. I'm going to have meat, oxen, strong meat. Or would you rather hear smooth things? Well, look at this, verse 26. Whatever your soul lusts for, oxen or for sheep? How about sheep? I want to be one of God's sheep. Don't you? I want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a goat. I don't want to be a horse. I don't want to pull some big fine chariot. I want to be a sheep. Walking in line behind the master. I don't care if I'm the lost sheep, as long as I'm behind the shepherd. I want to be a sheep, and I want to be with the rest of God's sheep, God's people. You want to be where God's people are, or you want to be with a bunch of hypocrites? A bunch of people playing games. I know. I want to seek the Lord with all the people that are seeking the Lord. Like I said one time, you know, you stand in line and ask a fellow, where are you going? The fellow says, I'm going down the street here to do this and that and the other. He asked another, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to worship. Well, I'm going with you. Choose you this day whom you may serve. Who's on the Lord's side? Look at this, verse 26. Sheep, you soul lusts to be a sheep? Do you lust after the fellowship of the saints? Look at this. Or for wine. Wine, what's that? Blood. I've got to hear the blood preached. I got to hear the blood preached. I'm tired of hearing words. I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of the preacher putting up on my doorpost and my mental rules and regulations. I want the blood on my doorpost. I want the blood. I got to hear this blood that makes atonement for my sinful soul. That's what I got to have. How about you? I got to hear that full and sufficient and effectual atonement that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear anything else. It doesn't meet my need. It doesn't. Wine, that makes glad the heart. Nothing else makes my heart glad like the wine of the blood of Christ. Look at this. And strong drink. Or for strong drink. Does your soul desire strong drink? Say, what is that? That's doctrine. That's reproof. That's exhortation. That's instruction in righteousness. Convict me. Admonish me. Do what it takes to mold me and make me like Christ. That's what I want. How about you all? I believe you do. Tell me what's necessary. Cut me. Take the sword of God's Spirit and cut me asunder. Divide asunder the thoughts and intents of my heart. Cut me. Mold me. Make me. Whittle me down. Prune me. Make me like Christ. I got to hear strong doctrine. Well, you know, they like to say that that's just for the family. Well, that's right. Only the family will receive it. But it's for everybody to hear without reservation. Strong drink. Look at this, verse 26. And whatever your soul desires. My margin says there, whatever your soul asks of thee. Does yours say that? Whatever your soul asketh of thee. That song says, obey the Spirit's wooing. You know, the law of God is written on our heart. We need to listen to it, don't we? We need to listen to our conscience. We need to listen to what our heart's telling us to do. Because our nature is so averse. We'll run, like in Bunyan's Holy War, They silenced the conscience. First thing that they did, first thing that the devil did when he went in and conquered the town of man's soul, he shut the conscience up. He gave orders to close that man's mouth. He's bothering these people. I don't want them to hear him. We need to listen to this, the law of God written upon our heart. Whatever your soul asks of thee, look at it, verse 26. And you shall eat there if you hearken diligently unto the word of the Lord, unto his voice, and seek after that which is good for your soul. Do whatever it takes to get to Christ. You shall eat there. You're going to eat. You're going to eat good food, too. Good food. You'll eat there before the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together, Christ said, I'm right there. Before the Lord, you're going to eat. You're going to eat. You're going to dine with him and his people. Sitting at the table, the king's table, eating good fare, king's fare. You'll eat the good of the land, the scripture says. You'll feast on the gospel. You'll worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth, not with feigned words from feigned lips. Not from the mouth either, when your heart is far from it. Well, look at this. And you'll rejoice. Thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Not only, people, not only will you be the better for this, not only will you rejoice, not only will you benefit everlastingly, but maybe, just maybe, if you do what it takes to be on the sound of the gospel and make sure all those around you, your children and so forth, are on the sound of the gospel, maybe they're going to rejoice someday too. Maybe. Just maybe, they'll greatly benefit. Maybe God will save your children. Maybe. Look at verse 27. And the Levite, that's the priest, the preacher, that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. In other words, don't forget the preacher. Take care of the man that's feeding you, feeding the gospel to you. Supply his needs, for the scriptures are clear that he's to live by the gospel. They that minister the things of the gospel are to live by the gospel. I don't know where people get off thinking that a preacher's not to have that as his living, not to be paid for preaching and so forth. If somebody just read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it's a clear answer. Evidently, they've been reading it. Well, it's obvious. They don't read that. They that preach the gospel to live by the gospel. Just as the Levites and the Old Testament priests and so forth were to take the things that were about the temple. They were to live on the things about the temple. That's clear. Besides, if you give so as to enable the man to give himself to reading and the study and so forth of the Word, you're going to profit. You're the one that's going to benefit. You're the one that's going to hear you're going to get a 5-course meal out of it, not a bologna sandwich. Scripture says, he that soweth to the flesh will reap flesh, but he that soweth to the Spirit will reap spirit. I don't know where they get off saying this. It's pride, I guess. And consequently, you know, you hear these fellows that aren't full-time preacher, and what you'll get is a part-time message. That's exactly what you'll get. You'll get a lot of noise, a lot of fire, a lot of smoke and so forth, but no meat. There's nothing to it. There's no word. There's no teaching. And there's no doctrine. There's no meat to what he's saying. Just a lot of hoopla, you know. Well, verse 28. Well, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase. At the end of 3 years. Scripture says, in a few years, I'll go the way of all flesh. In a few years. And I have not seen. It says, you'll bring forth increase. Increase. Scripture says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared unto us. We don't have any idea just what is waiting on us. This these unsearchable riches of Christ. We don't have any idea. The things that God has prepared are laid up in store. You're talking about increase. You're talking about increase. You're talking about a rags to riches story. We're trading in our filthy rags of self-righteousness for the very holy, spotless robe of Christ. Rags to His riches. Sinners to sons of God Almighty. The Scripture says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's the sense of why I believe what it's speaking of tithes. Lay them up. Lay them up for yourself treasures in heaven. But, listen to this. Let's read these next two verses with this in mind. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is talking about Christ. Listen. Listen. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase. Our Lord's ministry lasted about how long? About 3 years. He started when he was about 30 years old, didn't it? He started his public ministry when he was about 30 years. At the end of 3 years, you're going to bring forth all the tithe of thine increase. All the tithe, that is a remnant, a percentage of the people. A remnant, according to the election of grace. Christ's going to bring them forth. He's going to bring them forth. All the tithe of thine increase, the same year, and you're going to lay it up within thy gates. That's the kingdom of God within those jasper gates. He's going to bring those people forth. He's going to set them up as kings and priests unto our God within the jasper gates of heaven, within those pearly gates. He's going to bring them forth and lay them up because it's reserved. It's a reserved place for us. And look at this, verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no part or inheritance with thee, that's a in parenthesis, let's read it without that. And the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, they'll come, they'll eat, and they'll be satisfied. Every one of them are going to come. All of them. You see, all are alike in God's heaven. You see, it said the Levite and the stranger. That's Abraham and Mr. Ready to Halt. That's Moses and Mr. Weak Faith. They're all alike in God. Look, God's no respecter of persons. Great faith, little faith, makes no difference to God. They're all alike in His kingdom, in His dwelling place. He's no respecter of persons. The lion, you see, that lion is going to lay down with the lamb. The great with the least. As a matter of fact, Christ said the least will be the greatest. First will be last, and the last first. And yes, He said they'll all come. They'll all come. God's sheep will never perish. Christ said, my sheep shall never perish. Never. They'll all come, and they'll all die, and they'll all eat. Look at that. They'll all eat and be satisfied. They'll all sit at the king's table as sons, like old Mephibosheth. You reckon old Mephibosheth will satisfy what he got? What had he been eating on? He'd been round-bagging it until that time. When he got to the king's table, ooh, man. They brought before him a feast. You reckon he complained? Oh, no. He just, from that day forward, he was nothing but thankful to the king for what he had done for him. Satisfied, I reckon, he was satisfied just to be there, much less to have everything that came with it. And look at this. All of them will come, and they'll eat, and they'll be satisfied with Christ. They'll be satisfied. And look at this. He said up in verse 28, he says, you'll bring forth everything. You'll bring forth the tithe of your increase. And you'll lay it up. And you'll bring it forth. You'll do all this, the last part of verse 29, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou hast done, which thou doest. That's Christ, isn't it? That's so clear. And all the work of His hand, not our hand, His hand, and all the work of thy hand which thou doest because of what Christ has done. His right hand and His holy arm has gotten us the victory. Right? Not unto us,
Not unto us,
but unto him be all glory and honor and power.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
but by the works of righteousness that he has done. That's the reason we're here.
By his mercy, he has saved us.
And we're going to sing that song with all the saints. All glory and honor, wisdom and power, strength, everything goes unto the Lamb that was slain. Everything goes to him. Because of what he's done, because of the works of his hand. What is the gospel worth to you? What is Christ worth to you? Well, if you got to have him, if you got to hear it, the gospel, if you got to have corn, you got to have wine, you got to have oil, got to have these things, got to, your immortal soul has to have it. Has to feed upon Christ, the hearing of Christ. Well, if the way be too long, if it be far from you, do what it takes to get there. Do what it takes. And the Lord thy God will bless you. He'll bless you in Christ. Seek me with all your heart. And you'll what? You'll find me. And what have you found? A pearl of great price. That exceeding great reward, the Lord himself. Stand with me and I'll lead us in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we marvel at the